Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're diving into one of the most dazzling, mind-bending arguments in the whole of philosophy, the ontological argument for the existence of God.
Now, I want you to stop for a moment and think about this. What if you could prove that God exists simply by thinking about the concept of God? No telescopes, no fossils, no religious experiences required, just pure logic. That is exactly what the ontological argument claims to do. It is an a priori argument, meaning it works from reason alone, entirely independent of experience. And for your EdExcel A-level exam, this topic sits right at the heart of paper 1, the philosophy of religion paper, reference 9 RS00101. In this episode, we are going to cover everything you need to earn top marks. We will work through Anselm's two formulations in the Proslogion, Descartes' version in Meditation 5, the major critiques from Guanilo and Kant, and Norman Malcolm's Modern Defense. Then I'll give you the exam tips that distinguish a level 4 response from a level 2, and we'll finish with a quick-fire quiz to lock it all in. Let's go.
Section 1. Anselm's Proslogion 2. Existence as Perfection. St. Anselm of Canterbury, writing around 1077 in his Proslogion, which means discourse or address, defines God as, and I want you to memorize this phrase precisely, that than which nothing greater can be conceived. Philosophers often abbreviate this to TTWNGCC. This is not just a description of God, it is a logical definition, and the entire argument flows from it. Here is the logic of Proslogion 2. Anselm begins by noting that even the fool, he is quoting Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart there is no God. Even the fool who denies God's existence must understand the concept of God when he hears the phrase, that, then, which nothing greater can be conceived. So, God exists at minimum in the mind, what Anselm calls in intellectu, in the understanding. Now, here is the crucial move. Anselm argues that something which exists both in the mind and in reality is greater than something which exists in the mind alone. Think of it this way. A real 1,000 pounds is greater than an imagined 1,000 pounds. Therefore, if God existed only in the mind, we could conceive of something greater, namely, a God that also exists in reality. But that would contradict our definition because we define God as that than which nothing greater can be conceived. The fool's denial is therefore self-contradictory. This is a reductio ad absurdum, reducing the opposing position to an absurdity. Therefore, God must exist in reality, in re.
Section 2. Anselm's Proslogion 3. Necessary Existence. This is the formulation that many candidates neglect, and it is the one that Norman Malcolm later argues is the stronger version. In Proslogion 3, Anselm distinguishes between two types of existence. Contingent existence means something that can exist or not exist. It is dependent on other factors. Necessary existence means something that cannot not exist. Its non-existence is logically impossible. Anselm argues that necessary existence is a greater mode of existence than contingent existence. Since God is that than which nothing greater can be conceived, God must possess the greatest possible mode of existence. Therefore, God must exist necessarily. God's non-existence is a logical impossibility. This is a subtly different and arguably stronger claim than Proslogion 2. Section 3. Descartes' version. Meditation 5. René Descartes, writing in his Meditations on First Philosophy in 1641, offers an independent version of the argument. He argues that existence is a perfection, a property that a supremely perfect being cannot lack. His famous analogy, just as a triangle necessarily has three angles summing to 180 degrees, that is part of what it means to be a triangle, so existence is necessarily part of what it means to be a supremely perfect being. You cannot conceive of a supremely perfect being that lacks existence, just as you cannot conceive of a triangle that lacks three sides. Descartes' version is important because it frames existence as an essential predicate, a property that is analytically contained within the concept of God. This is an analytic proposition, true by definition alone, requiring no empirical verification. Section 4. Guanilo's Perfect Island Critique. Guanilo of Marmoutiers, a contemporary of Anselm, wrote a response called On Behalf of the Fool. His critique is a parody argument. He says, apply Anselm's logic to a perfect island, the greatest conceivable island. By Anselm's reasoning, this island must exist in reality because an island that exists in reality is greater than one that exists only in the mind. But this is absurd. We cannot define islands or any other contingent thing into existence simply by conceiving of them as perfect.
Gonilo's point is that Anselm's logic, if valid, would prove the existence of all manner of perfect things, which is clearly ridiculous. The argument proves too much. However, and this is important for your evaluation marks, Anselm has a response. He argues that the concept of a perfect island is fundamentally different from the concept of God. Islands are contingent by nature. They have no intrinsic maximum. You can always add one more palm tree. God, by contrast, is defined as the absolute maximum of conceivability. The concept of necessary existence applies only to a being that is the greatest conceivable being by definition, not to any contingent object. So Anselm would say Gonilo has misapplied the logic. Section 5. Kant's critique, existence is not a predicate. Immanuel Kant, in his Critique of Pure Reason, published in 1781, delivers what many consider the most devastating critique of the ontological argument. Kant argues that existence is not a logical predicate. It does not add any new property or quality to a concept. His famous example, if I say God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnibenevolent, I'm describing God's properties. But if I then add, and God exists, I have not added a new property to the concept. I have simply asserted that the concept has an instance in reality. Existence is not a characteristic like redness or tallness, it is a positing of the subject. Kant distinguishes between analytic propositions, where the predicate is contained in the subject, true by definition, and synthetic propositions, where the predicate adds new information and must be verified by experience. The existence of God is a synthetic claim. It cannot be established analytically from the concept alone. Therefore, the ontological argument commits a category error by treating existence as if it were an analytic predicate. Critically, and this is a common mistake candidates make, Kant is not saying God does not exist. He's making a logical point. The method of the ontological argument is flawed. Existence cannot be derived from a concept alone. Section 6. Norman Malcolm's defense. Norman Malcolm, in his 1960 paper Anselm's Ontological Arguments, argues that Kant's critique applies to Proslogion 2, but not to Proslogion 3. Malcolm agrees that existence in the ordinary sense is not a predicate, but he argues that necessary existence is a different matter. Necessary existence, the property of being such that one's non-existence is logically impossible, is a genuine predicate, a genuine property that distinguishes kinds of beings. Malcolm argues that God's existence is either logically impossible, if the concept is self-contradictory, or logically necessary. Since the concept of God is not self-contradictory, God's existence must be logically necessary. This is a modal argument, dealing with the logic of possibility and necessity. Now let's talk about how to turn this knowledge into marks. First, know your command words. In a 10-mark examined question, you are being tested purely on knowledge and understanding. Do not evaluate. Do not say, however Kant argues, just explain the argument clearly and accurately. Save your evaluative skills for the evaluate or assess questions, which carry a higher weighting. Second, the most common mistake I see is conflating Anselm's two formulations. Proslogion 2 is about existence as a perfection, the argument from the fool. Proslogion 3 is about necessary existence, the argument that God cannot not exist. These are distinct arguments. Examiners will credit candidates who distinguish them explicitly. Third, never write Kant proved God doesn't exist. Kant made a logical point about the structure of the argument. He showed that existence cannot function as a logical predicate in the way the argument requires. That is a very different claim from atheism. Fourth, use technical vocabulary precisely and consistently. The terms predicate, analytic, synthetic, a priori, in intellectu, in re, contingent, necessary, reductio ad absurdum, and intrinsic maximum should appear in your answers. Examiners are instructed to credit accurate use of technical language. Fifth, for essay questions, your conclusion must follow logically from your argument. Do not suddenly assert, therefore the ontological argument fails, without having built that case through your paragraphs. The conclusion should feel inevitable given what you have argued. Sixth, link Descartes directly to Anselm. Show the examiner you understand that both are working within the same rationalist tradition, both arguing that existence is analytically contained within the concept of a perfect being, even though they use different analogies. Right, cover up your notes. Let's test what you've retained. 1. What does TTW and GCC stand for? That then which nothing greater can be conceived. 2.
In which text did Anselm write the ontological argument? The Proslogion, written around 1077. 3. What is the difference between in intellectu and in rei? In intellectu means existing in the mind or understanding. In rei means existing in reality. 4. What is Ganilo's critique called and what does it involve? The perfect island critique, a parody argument showing that Anselm's logic would prove the existence of all perfect things. 5. What does Kant argue about existence? That existence is not a logical predicate. It does not add a new property to a concept. Which formulation of Anselm does Norman Malcolm defend and why? Proslogion 3. Because Malcolm argues that necessary existence, unlike ordinary existence, is a genuine predicate that Kant's critique does not undermine. How did you do? If you hesitated on any of those, go back and review that section. Let's bring it all together. The ontological argument is an a priori, deductive argument that attempts to prove God's existence from the concept of God alone. Anselm's Proslogion 2 uses a reductio ad absurdum to show the fool contradicts himself. Proslogion 3 argues that God must possess necessary existence. Descartes independently argues that existence is an essential perfection of a supremely perfect being. Gonilo challenges the logic with his perfect island parody. Kant delivers the most influential critique, arguing existence is not a logical predicate. And Malcolm defends Proslogion 3 by arguing necessary existence is a genuine predicate that survives Kant's attack. For your EdExcel exam, remember, AO1 is 40% and AO2 is 60% on this paper. That means your evaluation must be sustained, precise, and logically structured. Show the examiner you can think philosophically, not just recall facts. You've got this. Good luck and keep thinking carefully.